yesterday. Literally at about this time, 24 hours ago, John Gregg, the Democratic candidate for governor of Indiana, announced his running mate, longtime state senator Vi Simpson from down in Ellisville, which is near Bloomington down in Monroe County. She has great experience in state government, in Hoosiers, and already the critics are blasting Gregg and John Gregg and Vi Simpson because on some issues, they disagree. They have different points of view, but I thought that's what America is all about. Anyway, we sat down with them. Here's our exclusive extended interview. They are the Democratic ticket for governor and lieutenant governor of the great Hoosier State, the Honorable John Gregg and the even greater Honorable Vi Simpson. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, John Gregg, what led you to the decision, as I have talked to Democrats and even listeners on the program yesterday, were excited about your choice. What led you to this?
Hey, you know what? 3 weeks ago today, I had a discussion, and I didn't even need to look at a list, didn't need to look at any other names. The first name was Vi Simpson, and I didn't even need to give it a second thought or any more else. I thought, you know, this is who I want, and we put the wheels in motion. She's ready to govern, and she makes up for my weaknesses and strengthens my strengths.
Vi Simpson, you know, you've done so much in state government. You've done a lot of service to Hoosiers. When John Gregg sat down with you and said, you know, it's almost like that line from The West Wing when President Bartlet asked CJ, "I want you to jump over a cliff." Was that the line John used?
No, not exactly, but we had a very good conversation. I talked to some people in the campaign before I talked to John directly. And I had to give it a lot of thought, honestly, because I have loved being in the Senate. I think I've been a good legislator. I've gotten a lot done there. But you know, there comes a point in your career, Amos, where you have to take opportunities when the door opens. I think I can help John with govern the state. I think I can help him win this election, and I was ready to walk through that door when he opened it for me.
Let me ask both of you. One of the things I saw on Twitter about 30 minutes after the formal announcement was John Gregg, Vi Simpson. They talked about some of the differences that they have on some issues, and that's something that you don't see with presidential or vice presidential candidates, except with President Obama and Vice President Biden. You know, they have had some differences on policy, on issues, and they managed to get along and move forward for the benefit of all Americans. Is that kind of, first of all, one of the messages that you all are trying to say is we may disagree on some things, but on the larger issues affecting Hoosiers, we're united?
You said it. That was perfectly said, Amos. That's exactly what we're about.
Absolutely, Amos. I've traveled the state saying everybody in Indiana would have a seat at the table, and all voices would not only be heard, but they have a right to be heard. And the idea that Vi and I are not cookie cutters, I think, strengthens us. And that's a huge contrast to the other nominees that we're seeing. And I think because of that diversity, we show that will appeal not just to our party, but to independents and those moderate Republicans who do not identify with the Tea Party.
Let me ask you a couple of things. John Gregg and Vi Simpson, you both have talked about jobs. We have seen a steady, slow decline of the unemployment rate here in the state of Indiana. The number of Hoosiers that are working, the number of Hoosiers that are out of work are slowly going down. You know, is this just a blip in the road, or is this a good economy? And if the economy starts to improve, does that help the Gregg-Simpson ticket, or does that hurt it?
You know, Amos, the biggest thing, I'm glad that unemployment's dropping, but we're talking about low-paying jobs. We went from 37th to 39th when Governor Kernan was in office, and our current administration said they would stop that, and we've now slid to 45th or 46th. I want everybody working, but by golly, you can't raise a family on a $10 an hour job. So we're about jobs, but we're about middle class growing and middle class strengthening jobs.
Vice Simpson, one of the stories that are breaking here in Indianapolis, particularly on television, Channel 13, in cooperation with the Indiana State Teachers Association, surveyed some 2,000 teachers across the state, and some 11% of those teachers reported back that they knew somebody that was perhaps cheating or playing fast and loose on the I-STEP. And the survey also talked about the great frustration the teachers are having because of the pressure of standardized tests. Is how important is education and where this state goes in education going to be in the Greg Simpson ticket?
Well, I'm glad you asked about education, because one of the reasons I decided to join John in this endeavor was his knowledge, his understanding of how important education is when you talk about economic investment and economic development in the state of Indiana, and separate that somehow from education. It's impossible. It can't be done. The only way we can grow businesses in Indiana, the only way that we can create jobs, good-paying jobs in Indiana, is if we have an educated workforce and if we support not only our public schools but higher education as well. You know, Amos, that's been my song and dance for a long time. We have to invest in higher education, because that, in fact, is where the information, the knowledge comes from that will be next year's or next decade's products and services out on the market. And so you cannot separate the two. John understands that, and I'm just really pleased that we're moving forward together to make that a reality for Indiana. Standardized testing has its place in accountability and those kinds of issues, but actually it's putting a lot of stress on, not only on teachers but on administrators and more importantly on our kids. And we need to back off some of the standardized testing and start thinking about how to teach children to their needs, each one individually, listen to our classroom teachers and move education forward that way.
You know, Amos, Vi and I both, I think you'll find that our reform will include teachers. Teachers will have a voice, and it will be from the classroom up. We don't believe the best ideas come out of Washington, D.C. or Indianapolis. We think they come out of the supper table, the conference table, the countertops all around, you know, the coffee shops all across Indiana. We're very common sense oriented.
John Gregg, Vice Simpson, I got to ask you, one of the questions that are coming up from listeners is this going to be a campaign about competency? And when I say competency, making sure that Indiana government is running in a competent manner. When we start to see what we've seen the last year or so, where money comes up mysteriously, you know, missing, computer errors, agencies not being run in a timely manner, and not necessarily knocking Governor Daniels, but it seems like we need more of a governor and lieutenant governor who have their hands on the wheels, not worried about giving some speech in California or some speech in Texas or some speech in Washington or New York, but making sure that the government is working for all Hoosiers. How do y'all feel on that?
You know, Amos, I wish we could cut that and play that as an ad. You know, I can tell you that both the Senator and I, we're worried about your house and not the White House. And our focus is on Indiana, not on Virginia. You know, I've known our governor for many years, and his agency heads have let him down. And I can tell you that I don't think there's anybody that I could have found who has a better understanding of state finances than Senator Simpson. A lot of people that may not know that, but her having served on the budget committee for many years, her background in that is without equal. So I think that's a strength, and I think you're absolutely right. I think Hoosiers need to know that government's efficient, government's working for them, and it is about competency. I don't have any Washington, D.C. experience, praise the Lord, but I do understand state government, as does Vi.
One of the things we're also hearing, we heard it from listeners yesterday as word of the announcement was officially being made public. And these are people that, you know, I think African Americans this election are a lot more sophisticated than 4 years ago, and definitely a lot more sophisticated politically than 8 years ago or 12 years ago here in Indiana. So they have seen Mike Pence on Fox News. They have seen him on national television. They have seen him in front of the cameras in Washington. They kind of know where he's coming from, and they don't necessarily like where he's coming from. And they're starting to ask, when are Democrats really going to start pointing out where Mike Pence stands on the issues important to Hoosiers and where John Gregg and Vi Simpson stand on the issues, and really start to make the contrast and really start to let people know what a Pence government could mean here in Indiana?
Well, I hope a Pence government in Indiana wouldn't mean dysfunctionality, which is what he's been participating in D.C. The obstructionism, the contrariness, the let's shut government down just to make a political point or to push some radical right-wing agenda, that's not the kind of governor John Gregg will be, and I certainly would not be part of this ticket if I thought so for a second.
You know, Amos, that's an excellent point, and we've been trying to get that word out there. You'll hear more of it. You know, we're about meeting people in the middle, working together on what we can agree on, leaving social issues off the table. People will be finding out that Congressman Pence voted not once, but twice for the Ryan budget. He doesn't believe in Social Security. He wanted to make severe cutbacks in Medicaid. He wanted to make cutbacks in Medicare. He has been the lead warrior in the attack on women. And I think that's because he's out of touch with Indiana. And, you know, he's gone Washington. And he's more about ideology than he is about ideas. So we're going to be getting that word out there.
One of the things I've noticed, and I'm not a lifelong Hoosier, but I've been here, you know, almost pushing 40 years. One of the things I've noticed is when a governor gets elected who is inexperienced as governor, it has been that experienced lieutenant governor that has helped that governor in that first legislative session, that second legislative session, over the hurdles. Frank O'Bannon did that with Evan Bayh. Becky Skillman did that with Mitch Daniels. But when we look at the lieutenant governor candidate on the other side, Sue, and I'm always getting, it'll take me a year to get her name, last name, Ellsperman, her relative inexperience in state government, and with Mike Pence's relative inexperience in state government, we don't have time for on-the-job training for governors and lieutenant governors. We need some folks, and correct me if I'm wrong, that are ready to hit the ground running from day one.
Hey, you know what, Amos? Let me tell you. Sue Ellsperman's 2 years in the legislature. Do remember that, or actually 18 months in office, that is 18 months more experience than Mike Pence has in Indiana government, and she's passed more legislation in 18 months than he has in 12 years in Washington, D.C. So, you know, I think she could help him. It's just I think you got to look at the experience we have in state government, but more so whether it's experience in state government or not. We don't have that Washington, D.C. experience, which means polarization and pointing fingers. Vi Simpson has served in the minority all of her 20-plus years in the state Senate. She has been an effective legislator because she reached across the aisle. She's an elected legislative leader. That means you have constant dialogue with members of the opposite party. This was a major factor. I mean, we realize we're going to be dealing with Republicans. And you know what? The day after election, we're all Hoosiers anyway.
I got to ask you, in the 24 to 48 hours since this news started to leak out on Twitter or what have you, what has been the reaction? Are your phones ringing off the hook, or are folks, you know, knocking on the door, writing a check for a dollar or two? What kind of reaction are you hearing from around the state? Let me ask Vi Simpson first.
Well, first of all, yes, my phone has been ringing off the hook. And three gentlemen from Terre Haute just left this office after leaving off a check. So They were happy with the choice, and I have never gotten such response from anything I've done in the legislature or otherwise, and it's been very, very positive. I think people understand that we complement each other, that the very best ticket for Indiana will represent everyone in Indiana and all viewpoints and all perspectives, and John and I together do that. John has committed to me that this will be a team in terms of governing as well as campaigning, and that was just the challenge I was looking for. So I just couldn't be happier about the response we're getting from the public, and John, have you heard from anybody?
You know, Amos.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask, is your phone blown up?
First of all, I've got a different phone number, so I'm harder to find anymore, but I have had all kinds of people. Amos, we had a crowd of over 300 out at 2 o'clock on a weekday with about 20 hours notice. That was phenomenal. And, I'm excited about it. I have heard nothing but good words. I have known, this was an intensely personal decision, I have known Senator Simpson for 28 years. We have long worked together. We've worked together. We've worked against each other. We've agreed and disagreed. And I think there's strength in that. And I think as people look at our profile, that we will appeal to those what I call Lugar Republicans. Mm. And I think that they'll realize that we're pro-business. We're about jobs. And we're about improving the economy, and we're about a whole lot of things and not social issues. So I think this is a winning team.
The other thing is, and I'm still trying to figure out whether the Republican lieutenant governor candidate, whether she voted for Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton in that 2008 primary. And what does that say about someone that who was a strongly identified Republican, who later became a Republican precinct committee person, crossing over in that election? And if both of you remember, the only person that was out trying to encourage Republicans to cross over in the Indiana presidential primary 4 years ago was some guy named Rush Limbaugh.
Well, I do remember that. I can't speak to her reasons for doing what she did. She spoke to the press and said it was her personal choice, and I certainly agree with that. I wish she supported personal choice in a lot of areas in women's lives, but that we'll talk about that later.
John Gregg, you talked about Lugar Republicans. Is the fact that we have two diverse Democrats on this ticket that encompass the full breadth of viewpoints in the Democratic Party here in Indiana, a way for you and Vi to basically say, we respect differing views, we are a big tent in the Democratic Party, so Lugar Republicans, Hoosier Independents, you know, we're trying to build a government that will be for all 6.5 million Hoosiers, not just a small slice?
That is exactly it, Amos. I said that from day one. I mean it. It was important to me that I select someone with the same commitment and the same goal, but looks at it from a different perspective. We have so much we agree upon, and it shows all the more reasons why these social issues do nothing but divide us. I'm comfortable with picking someone who's going to be sitting beside me in meetings that may not always be agreeing with me. And I think that is a strength, and I think you can look at the other side and realize that was probably something that was a fear. And I don't fear someone questioning me. I respect it because it makes me understand my point, and the more we can listen, the more we talk. The more we talk, the more we understand, and the more we can get along and get people back to work.
John told me right at the very beginning that he wasn't interested in a yes man, and I can assure you I will never be.
I got to ask you, John, when we first started this conversation, you said that you had sat down with Vi some 3 weeks ago, so this was not done because yesterday Mike Pence picked a woman. This was the original game plan all along?
Yeah. I started this process 3 weeks ago. I did not talk with Vi 3 weeks ago, but I had talked with Vi over, as I recall, it's arguing over 2 weeks ago. And our plan was to do this, and it just so happened that Congressman Pence made his announcement, and ours was scheduled. We just, of course, hadn't announced it, but we did a good job. I think we kind of surprised some people, and that wasn't the intent of it, but I think that, you know, I would, like I said, I knew from the moment who I wanted. I never had to look any further, and I was just ecstatic and still ecstatic that Senator Simpson chose to do this, because she's ready to hit the ground running, campaigning, and helping lead the state.
Obviously, both of you have visited Indiana Black Expo Summer Celebration on many, many occasions. Mike Pence has never been there, so, you know, are we going to maybe see all four of these candidates, and maybe the Libertarians, Rupert Bonham and Brad Klopfenstein, maybe we'll get all six of the candidates hanging out at Expo in a month?
Well, we'll be there.
We'll be there.
in the words of the late Michael Jackson, I'll be there.
And I'm seeing you, and you guys got a logo already. My goodness, y'all work quick. So the mustache.
I appreciate it.
I'm here looking at the logo. So the mustache is under Greg, and the red and the white star is under Simpson. Is that kind of how it works?
You know, the signs, I didn't see them this morning, but Vi needs to tell you about a guy that contacted her by Facebook last night.
What, Vi?
Well, there was, when the news got out, Facebook was hot and heavy with conversation about Greg Simpson ticket, and somebody contacted me on Facebook whose name is Greg Simpson, and I think from Indianapolis. He's called Greg, G-R-E-G-G, and his last name is Simpson. And so he's interested in a yard sign that says Greg Simpson, so we're going to get him one.
He might have to give a seconding speech at the state convention.
And you'll be pleased to know Vi is sporting a mustache lapel pin today.
But I absolutely refuse to grow one.
I think that's one thing the Democratic ticket is bringing is a pleasing personality. It's going to be a hard-fought campaign. The Democratic candidates for one other thing, John Gregg, we're hearing a female candidate. The Democrats may nominate a woman for attorney general, a woman for superintendent of public instruction. Any concern from a political standpoint that you're the head of a ticket of one male and three female?
You know, Amos, last I checked, the congressman from Indianapolis is male. The person running for the United States Senate from our party is male. And the person running for president is male.
So this will balance it out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't pick Vi Simpson because of her gender. I picked Vi Simpson because, to me, she was qualified. She was the most qualified person.
The best person for the job.
Absolutely.
John Gregg, Democratic candidate for governor of Indiana, and his running mate, Vi Simpson. They are hitting the ground running. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. We'll have to get you all in the studio at some point.
Thanks, Amos.
Thank you.